Chapter number four, Ephesians chapter number four, if you will. Thank you, Miss Caitlin. Bobo's here with us tonight. I didn't mention that earlier, but we're thankful to have our friend here with us tonight. And many of you know her from North Augusta over there, and I appreciate her being here tonight. She's here for KK's wedding. And I'm told it's this weekend, so, but anyhow, I keep telling KK I'm going out of town. I don't know that I'll be back, and but I'm sure I'll be back. Maybe. But anyhow, y'all pray for this weekend, and we get her and Jeff married off. And Brother Matt's doing the wedding, and I get to be dad. How cool is that? And so anyhow, I'm hoping, I ain't going to say I ain't going to cry, but I'm hoping I ain't going to cry. And I thought I'd be real happy about Zachary being gone, but I ain't going to lie to you, man. Every time I was talking to JR today, who owns a golf course, and he said, I heard Zachary got Paris Island last night. And I guess Colby had told him or whatever, and so I started telling him about the phone call, and I started tearing up. I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? What's going on? Ephesians chapter number four, are you there? Say amen. Amen. If you're not, you're probably not going to find it, all right? We'll start in verse number 17, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse number 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And verse number 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. That's a tough one. I need somebody to say amen. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I heard radio, I think it was on the radio the other day, they said that scientists have proved that it's better for you not to go to bed mad. Imagine that. I mean, it's in the Bible. Since a scientist said it, Dr. Fauci said it, it's all good. Stupid. All right, let me move on. Neither, verse 27, give place to the devil. There's a lot of problems in this world today with Christians, and the problems they're having is they're giving place to the devil. We'll talk about that tonight. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. There's a thought. Is everybody all right? I hear I hear this all the time. Why ain't Christians taking care of all these people that are unemployment and everything? You know, the Bible does say if a man won't eat, I mean, a man don't work, he don't eat. And you stop feeding them, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. People will start getting a job. Problem with most of them is they don't want to work because we have made a way for them to be able to live without having to work. Running around on unemployment, a $1,000 phone. Unlimited data. Everybody all right? All right, where was I? But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now you can, and most of you, first thought is I'm not supposed to cuss. But that ain't the only evil communication that comes out of your mouth, or corrupt communication comes out of your mouth. When you like to talk and gossip, backbite, is everybody all right? You ever been around? Let me stop. I'm just going. All right, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister, listen, grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, how in the world? I just want to stop right here. I'm getting there, all right? This ain't got nothing to do with the message tonight. But this, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. The possibility of grieving the Holy Spirit is done in your body. Does everybody get what I'm saying right here? So, sin against God, our sin grieves the Holy Spirit within us. Is everybody all right? We act like it's okay to do those type of things and to sin because there's grace. And we've heard, and probably there's some that are just as confused as they were in Paul's day when Paul said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so we think that, oh, well, our sin's okay because more grace will be given for our sin. But the fact is our sin grieves the Holy Spirit. I know it ain't a Joel Osteen message, but y'all bear with me. Our sin grieves the Holy Spirit living in us. If you say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We contrasted, Paul contrasts to this church here at Ephesus, two different individuals. The Gentiles of old, I guess what we would say, lost man, he contrasts that with how you and I are to conduct ourselves now. He tells us that in verse number 17 that he says that we walk not as other Gentiles walk. In other words, we're not supposed to walk the same way we did before we got saved, after we get saved. Now, we shouldn't have to tell nobody that, but the fact is that a lot of folks has got it in their mind that, hey, I'm just getting a ticket to heaven and I can live however I want. It doesn't matter because grace is going to abound. I can go to God and I can ask for forgiveness for my many sins. And it's all good. Is everybody all right? Now, I'm not saying that you can't confess your sin. I'm not saying that God won't forgive you of your sin. But what I am saying is that that does not give you a license to sin. Just because those things are offered to us and those things are available to us does not mean that you and I are to abuse it. And Paul tells them they're not to walk as other Gentiles. In other words, there should be something different about your life. And I think we've gotten into the mindset of the new church age. The new church is, let's just live life however, and everything's going to be all right because we got a loving God. And we've allowed that to creep into our life. We've allowed that to creep into our churches. This come as you are, Jesus will take you just as you are, and he does. But he doesn't leave you as you are. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that doesn't mean, like Brother Scott said, you know, Brother Scott said when he first got saved, he's like, I ain't going to mess up again. And it don't take 10 minutes to figure out that you're going to mess up. All right? But what that does mean is that God has begun a new work in you. He has created a new heart in you, and that heart is not the same as the old one. Now, it's a progression. It is a progression. It's not something I don't want one person to think that I'm sitting here preaching that, man, bless God, you ain't never going to sin again. All you got to do is set your mind to it, and you ain't never going to sin again. You're good to go. It is a progression. There's things in my life that took years before I was willing to turn them over to the Lord. Why y'all got so quiet? All right? I didn't get all, I mean, when I got saved, I did not become perfect. I was close. But yeah, I was close before I got saved. Ask Michelle. All right? I'm just kidding. Y'all know I'm just kidding. But he contrasts two individuals, the lost man and the saved man. But I want to find what connects that. How does that happen, Brother Scott? Because that's not an easy thing. Just like Brother Scott said earlier, I wanted to do right. And I think Paul even says it this way. I those things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And those things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I find myself doing. All right? So Paul struggled with it. I'm going to struggle with it. All right? But what is it? How can I change my life? You do realize it's on us to do that. All right? He wouldn't be telling us in verse number 17, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, if it was God doing the work. That's your response. Is it? Come on, y'all. You got to help me now. We have a responsibility in this. I would love to lose more weight, but I find myself liking food. Right? I need somebody to say amen. All right? And here's what I do. So I've gotten in this thing, man, I love eggs. All right? I'm telling you, when I get out on our property, the first thing I'm building is a chicken coop. Because we're going to have some chickens and we're going to have some eggs. All right? I love eggs. I mean, I eat eggs every day. Anyhow, I ain't going to go through all that. But anyhow, I eat eggs every day and I eat bacon every day, all right? Israel messed me up on that. I couldn't eat no pork while I was over there. So when I come back, I got to get all my bacon up and get caught up for when the trip over there to Israel. But anyhow, so I eat some bacon and eggs every day, all right? Now, I don't get me, but I'll fix me maybe one or two strips of bacon and one egg. That's it. I pace myself, all right? Don't get me wrong. I could probably eat 10 or 12 of them, but one egg and a piece of bacon or two. That's it. But the other night, I splurged. Now, this might not mean anything to y'all because a lot of y'all don't even like tomatoes, but I took some bread. I don't eat much bread, so when I say bread, it's like manna from heaven. I took some bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Anyhow, all right. So I got some mayonnaise. I know some of y'all don't like mayonnaise, and that's all right. You can be wrong. But I took that mayonnaise, and I put it on the bread. I need somebody to help me. All right? And you got to have it like my double stack is like bread and then mayonnaise. Some people just put a little bit of mayonnaise on there, but why waste a sandwich on a little bit of mayonnaise? So cover it, right? Cover that thing, and then you put it on the plate. Michelle toasted it too, so she's in this too. I mean, she encourages me to be fat. But anyhow, she toasted my bread for me, and I put some mayonnaise on this side, and I sat it over there on the plate. And that other piece, it was feeling lonesome. Put some mayonnaise on it. I took that egg that I'd fried up. Took that bacon, Brother Kenny. Oh, hallelujah. I put that bacon on there, and man, I'm going to tell y'all what, I bit into that thing, and the glory fell. A little bit of salt and pepper. It was all good. Anyhow, so I went in there today, I got my one egg out, got my bacon, and I'm sitting there going, I look over there because we don't normally have bread in the house, but Michelle had bought some bread because the kids was coming over. That's why, and I looked over there and that bread was sitting there, Brooke Kenny. And I know there's about 2 jars of mayonnaise in that fridge over there. I need somebody to help me. I'm going to tell y'all, there was a battle for my mind right there in the kitchen because I wanted to fix me another one of them sandwiches. I want it. Man, this sermon come to my mind, all right? I want it. I mean, I had to make a decision, Brother Josh, and I made the decision, no bread, no mayonnaise today. I just did my egg. I just did my bacon. Don't think that I'm strong. It took a lot of prayer. But my point is that while I was wrestling with that, I was thinking how it relates to this message and that one change that I was telling you about happens right here. That one change, I want you to listen in verse number 17. He says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Verse number 23, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Romans chapter number 12, very familiar passage of scripture to every single one of us. If it ain't, then you ain't listened to a sermon preached around here, because I've preached several times out of this. Paul writes to the church in Rome and he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do I walk not as other Gentiles and walk according to Ephesians chapter number 4? How can that take place? That one change that every single one of us can make is right here. Man, it got me thinking, the battle for our mind. What that verse number 17, Miss Carrie, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." That word vanity does not mean emptiness. It means what that word means. If you'll go and you'll look it up, it actually means that it has a meaning towards the overload of your mind. Almost like a burden. How many, come on y'all, help me right here. How many of us are consumed by the things of the world in our mind? The Bible says we got to change our thinking. We got to renew our mind, the spirit of our mind, renewing our minds over in Romans chapter number 12. In other words, there's a battle for your and my mind. And if you and I can get this part right, then the actions that come out of us will be right. But the problem with most and why we still struggle over and over with the same thing is because we never get this right. Most people, they want a list of things that they can do. And sooner or later, that list, you're going to get tired of doing that list. Because your mind has not been changed. You can do a diet. Oh, I need somebody to help me. I wasn't even thinking about this. But, Brother Scott, how many people have done diets and lost weight only to get off the diet and gain it all back? Why did that happen? You followed a list. You did this, you did this, you did this. And because you did those things, you lost weight. But you did not change your thinking towards food. And so as soon as you come off the diet, you go right back to where you were before the diet and put all the weight back on. Why? Because your mind was never changed.
And it's the same thing in Scripture. I want to take a look at it tonight. I wrote down Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 7, just the beginning of this thing. It says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Do you know that what goes on up here is who you are? If you don't fix what's up here, then you're always going to struggle in your Christian walk. We are to present our bodies. God's interested in our bodies, and he's interested in our mind. And the only way for us to present our bodies correctly with the Lord is to first take care of our mind. I think the connecting link between the old man putting off the old man and putting on the new man, y'all got to help me tonight. I know I'm telling it right. It's right here. That's the connect. That's the one thing. Do you hear me? That is the one thing that can change your entire life. A list of rules ain't going to change your life. It's just going to change a time period in your life. Because you'll do the list of rules just like you'll do the diet, but you're not going to change your thinking, and so you'll go right back to where you were. And this is a battle for your mind. The devil does not mind giving. He doesn't care if the preacher stands up and gives you a list of things to do, as long as your mind doesn't change about doing them. Oh, preacher, just give me a list. Tell me what I'm not supposed to do. Okay, I'm not supposed to drink. Preacher, I got that one. You ain't got to tell me that. I'm not supposed to get drunk. All right, preacher, I'm not supposed to smoke dope. Preacher, I can do that. You ain't got to worry about that. I ain't going to smoke no dope. I ain't going to do no cocaine. Preacher, boy, we like to throw out them easy things that we don't struggle with. But we're not changing our mind. You know what God's purpose in our life is? You know what God wants out of us? Let me get over here and read something over here. Y'all help. I need glasses, y'all. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29. We know verse number 28. We all like verse number 28 because verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Man, everybody likes that verse. Somebody, I need a Christian to say amen. Man, that's our life verse. Man, anytime we go through a struggle, we're gonna claim that verse. Whatever I'm going through, God's going to work it to my good. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, but let's read 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate." That's us. Everybody all right? He says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate," or predetermine, "to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You know what God wants out of my life? He wants me to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, before we, hey, y'all stay with me. Now, where's your thinking line up when Jesus is? See, I know everybody in here going to come down to the altar tonight. There's not going to be an empty seat in the house, because there ain't one person in here that you can honestly say that your mind is the same as Christ. You're bitter, you're mad, you're upset, you hold on to things, you're not very loving, you're not very giving, you're not sacrificial, you're not compassionate. Should I go on or are we good? You're not merciful. As we look at this tonight, how can I make that change? I believe every Christian can make that by the following practice. Now, two of these are going to be very elementary, because you've heard them from the time you was a youngin', all right? How do I make this change? What's this one change, my mind, that I can make that is going to change my entire life? How am I going to do that? Number one, by scriptures. See, I told you it was really elementary. You got to get in your Bible. Say, "Preacher, we were looking for something new." Well, when we start doing that, then we'll look for something new. There's no sense in trying to find something new if we're not willing to do what Scripture says about our mind. We see in the intent of believers. I've already showed you that in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29. The intent is that you and I be conformed to the image of his son. He's predetermined that. When he saved us, those he foreknew, us, He has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he has. That's mine and your purpose. That's what God wants out of you and I. Y'all, come on, please help me. God doesn't want Robbie Harrington's mind. Matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. Maybe it'll help you, maybe it won't. God don't want my mind anywhere in me. He wants me to be conformed to the image of his son. That means my mind, I'm to think as Jesus would think. We have these bracelets. What would Jesus do? Man, think about that. Think about the situations you went through today. How would Jesus have handled it? I'll stop because it is a sobering thought to think that my mind is supposed to be lined up with Christ. There's a lot of people that are perform certain things like Christ, but I'm to think in my everyday walk as Christ would think. We see the intent of believers. That's what God wants out of us, you and me, to be conformed to the image of his son. The command of believers, we find in Ephesians chapter number 4, the command of believers, we're to conduct ourselves, we're to walk a certain way, and he lays that out for us. And I'm not going to go back and read all those things again, but I think we got a pretty good picture. We're to put away lying, speak every man the truth. We're to be angry and sin not, neither give place to the devil, and on and on and on. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to you, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. If we do that, the world will be a better place. Is everybody all right? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're commanded not to walk like the Gentiles, but our conduct is to be such that we are to conform to this. The Bible tells us that. So how do I get my mind right? I got to put this in it. Well, preacher, what am I? Preacher, tell me what I'm not supposed to do. Okay, you're not supposed to lie. You know you lie. Is everybody all right? You understand what I'm saying? It's all right here. We just won't put it in. Because we want this new Christian, new age stuff. So how can I do it? By the first practice is by Scripture. You got to read the Scriptures. You got to fall in love with your Bible and learn what God, how does God want me to think? Let's go look at we ain't doing that because I really don't have time. But let's go look at the life of Christ. Let's go see how he treated people. Would you treat that woman that was brought to you and somebody said that she was caught in a very act of adultery? How would you treat her? Oh, man, they don't want me to talk about it. They don't want me to talk about it. Because as much as we like to think that we would be compassionate towards her, I've seen too many of us get all jacked up when it happens in the church house. That woman at the well, divorced. 5 times? Tell you what, sister, you need to figure some things out. Is everybody all right? How we treat people? You want to know how I'm to be conformed to the image of his son? Miss Jewel, you know how I'm going to do that? I got to learn about a son. How did he do things? Let me move on. Number 2, by prayer. Turn over just a couple pages with me to Philippians chapter number 4, and we'll end right here. We'll be in this and be done, all right? Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, very elementary. What's the very first thing I got to do? If I'm going to get my mind right, I'm going to have to get into Scripture. Number 2, I'm going to have to get in some prayer. Brother Robbie, I've heard this all my life. Then why are we still struggling with our mind? So what does our mind do? I see by prayer, the prompting of prayer. The Bible says in verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything. The prompting of prayer, everything. You know where to pray about everything? Is everybody all right? How about the performance of prayer? By prayer, that word by prayer, you know what that is? That is an act of worship, if you'll look that up. But in everything, by prayer, that is literally prayer as an act of worship. So we see the prompting of prayer, the performance of prayer, the passion of prayer, and supplication, the praise of prayer with thanksgiving, the petitions of prayer, let your requests be known, the peace of prayer in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So, if I'm going to get my mind right, I'm going to have to get into Scripture, I'm going to have to learn who Christ really is and how He thinks, how He walks, how He talks. Help me. And then I'm going to have to be in prayer. Why? Because all these things is jumbled up in our mind. What was verse number 17 say? The vanity of their minds, all these things in their mind. I got to be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Don't worry about anything. But in everything, pray. And what does that prayer produce? Verse number 7. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Here. Hey, the peace of God, Brother Josh, don't necessarily happen around us. You can be in the storm and have the peace of God. Doesn't necessarily mean He's going to calm the storm. Doesn't necessarily mean He's going to go out there and step on it and say, hey, cease. Doesn't mean He's going to do that. But the peace of God, where does that take place? Y'all, I'm telling y'all, this is good preaching. I don't care who you are, all right? I know it's elementary. I mean, I preach it. I could preach this. You told me to do the Bible. You told me to read. I could preach this. But are you fully understanding? If I'm going to renew my mind, I'm going to have to put things in there. I'm going to have to learn. Because I'm going to be conformed to His image. I'm going to have to learn about Him, Josh. I'm going to have to put what He would think here. God's mind on paper. I got to get it in here. I got to think like Him. I got to walk like Him. I got to talk like Him. Why? Because God has predetermined that I'm to be conformed to the image of His Son. Not the image of the preacher. Not the image of your Sunday school teacher. Not the image of the godly saint in the church. But to His Son. And the prayer, by prayer, that's where I'm going to find the peace of God. Is that all right? Lastly, and I'm done. Y'all might not have this one, but by meditation. Verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's honest. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So what you thinking about all day? Leave that verse up there if you will, Miss Carrie. What are you thinking about all day? If I'm going to transition from the old man, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, there's one link. There's one link between the two that I have to fix. If I fix the one link between the old man and the new man, then I can put off the old man and I can put on the new.
Amen.
What is the one link? My mind. How am I going to do that? Through Scripture, I got to learn. I'm to be conformed to the image of God's Son. I've got to learn everything I can about God's Son and how He thinks, how He walked, how He talked. By prayer, what does prayer do for the believer? It produces the peace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing like. I've struggled with this here lately, ever since I got COVID. But I struggle with everything. I mean, everything going on in my head, and I can't get it all lined up where I can focus. I sit down, and my mind's wandering here, and my mind's wandering there, and all these things. How am I going to get peace? One of the most neglected privileges And a Christian's life is a privilege to converse with our Creator, with our Savior. And we don't even take advantage of it. But from Scripture, the Bible says that it produces the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. There ain't no peace out here. But there can be peace here. But it comes through prayer. And finally, I can renew my mind through what I meditate on. If I'm meditating on the wrong things, I got, this is something that I'm working on, Brother Herman. I've got to get those things in here. And I've got to throw out some things that don't need to be in there. Whatsoever things are true, I got to get them in there. Whatsoever things are true. Thy word is truth. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever, let me go back. Whatsoever things are pure. You want to live holy? How can you live holy if you're not putting holy things? Hey, how can I live holy if I'm not putting holy? As a man thinketh, for as a man thinketh, so is he. So if I ain't thinking right, then I ain't going to be right. So I got, if I'm going to be holy, I got to put some holy things up there. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. I could go through the whole list right there of things that you and I are supposed to put constantly. That last one, we're to think on heavenly things. I mean, throughout my day, I ought to be praising God. Y'all don't amen me. I can't even get y'all to praise God during the church service. All through the day, every day of my life, every hour, I ought to be thanking God. Yeah. Honest thoughts, holy thoughts, harmonious thoughts. That's unity, togetherness. Happy thoughts, healthy thoughts, heavenly thoughts. What's your thought life like? You realize tonight there is a battle for your mind. And there is nothing more the devil wants to do than to fill your mind, overload your mind, and get you to a place where, I've seen it with teenagers, I've seen it with adults, I can't do this. Is everybody right? Am I going to make somebody mad if I say so? The Bible said be honest, so I'm just going to be honest with y'all. We tell people that we don't have time to do anything. But I bet that our screen time on our phone would tell a different story. We tell people we don't have time for this, but I bet our TV would tell a different story. We tell people we don't have time for this or that, but yet our idle time would tell a different story. See, what the devil has managed to do is to get us so busy on everything else that we don't have time to think on these things. And the problem with most Christians is they're not willing to present their bodies a living sacrifice and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By fixing this. I know I'm right. I know y'all are mad. I know y'all need the Lord tonight, all right? Because I'm telling you, I need the Lord. This is a battle for my mind. And just like I sat in that kitchen today, what an illustration. I was literally
Did I do this egg and bacon sandwich? That egg and that piece of bacon, it's a lot easier for me to digest and go. I mean, but if I bread, I'm thinking that. I mean, this is thoughts going through my mind. Now, if I put mayonnaise and I bread that thing, I make me a sandwich, I'm gonna have to have some chips to go with it. And I'm sorry, but I mean, if you, habits, old habits. I gotta have a glass of milk. Y'all, you see, yeah, I got people going, listen, man, it's all right. Not everybody's saved. Somebody told me the other day, Jeff, Mary and KK, he's like, I don't like tomato sandwich. What? Don't like tomato sandwiches. Is everybody all right? So what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I bet you don't like banana sandwiches either. My father-in-law ate a mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwich. Somebody say amen. Is everybody all right? I'm just broadening your horizons. My point, though, was that battle that I had in that kitchen is the same battle that's going on in our Christian walk. The devil's trying to keep us as distracted as he can to keep us from thinking on these things. The one link between putting off the old man and putting on the new man happens right here. And if we don't ever fix this, we'll never get to there. We'll constantly battle the old man. Constantly battle the old man. Tonight, how about we gather around the altars? Listen. It's going to take some commitment to get my mind right. And it's going to take some commitment to get your mind right. It's a progression too. So don't think when you fail for the first time tomorrow or tonight before you go to bed that, oh, I just can't do this. Why? We got to work at it. Why? Because it's a battle. It's something that we're going to have to work at. I've got to renew my mind. If I want to get to a place where God wants me, God has predetermined that I'm to be conformed to the image of His Son. And for that to take place, the only way it's going to take place is if there's a renewing of my mind. I can't do it. I can't just turn over a new leaf. I can't just follow a set of rules. I can do it for a time, but this is one change. One change that you can make that could change your entire life. Listen to what I said. One change you can make that would change your entire life. I wonder tonight while Christians are praying and the piano is playing, I wonder if there's somebody in our congregation tonight that would be honest with me and say, preacher, it is a battle for my mind. Preacher, I struggle with this. Preacher, pray for me. Is there anybody like that? Say, preacher, I struggle with my mind. I see hands. Anybody else, just put your hand up. Preacher, I struggle. My mind is where I struggle, preacher. Let me pray with you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the hands that are up. God, you see my hand raised to you. Lord, a battle is being waged against our mind, Lord. And oftentimes I find myself losing this battle. God, I pray for every person that raised their hands, Lord. I pray that you would touch them, Lord. As they make commitments at the altar, as they make commitments to renew their mind, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, give us the resolve, Lord, the fortitude to carry it through, to work on renewing my mind and putting the right things in it. I wonder if there'd be one tonight with head still bowed to say, preacher, I wouldn't even know where to begin to renew my mind. Maybe you say it like this, preacher, I'm not even sure I'm saved.
Preacher, to be honest with you, maybe you're saying this tonight. Preacher, to be honest with you, I don't even know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know if I go to hell. If that's you tonight, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just look right up at me so I know how to end the service. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody like that tonight? All right, our Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Lord, I thank you for the singing tonight. I thank you for the preaching tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that every person in here walk out of here, Lord, taking something home that changed their life. Lord, it's a process. It's a progression. Lord, it's not something that we're going to change overnight. It's something that we're going to have to work on. And God, I pray, Lord, that we'd commit ourselves to that, to work diligently, to put the right things in our mind, to fill our mind with those things which are pure and honest, Lord, and true, lovely, God, virtue. Lord, I pray that we put the right things in our mind and, Lord, begin getting the things that don't need to be there out. God, I pray a hedge of protection around our church and the people of it. Lord, as I know, the devil is fighting all he can for our minds. Lord, please help us. Encourage us as we encourage one another to continue in the fight for the battle of our minds. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.